Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Good morning, everyone, on this Wednesday. Morning. You're watching the Brad Sessmatt Show on Sports360AZ.com. I'm, in fact, not Brad Sessmatt. I'm, in fact, Devin Henry, hosting the show today, filling in for the big man himself. And, man, we have a light studio these next couple of days. Jordan's out of town. I don't think Eric's going to be in tomorrow. We got Kennedy behind the board today. I'm stuck up here with you today. Brad will be back tomorrow, but then I'm doing, like, double duty, I think, back behind the glass over there. And it's a big weekend, too, in sports. The Suns are actually winning. Go figure. We'll talk a little bit more about that. No one is going to stop talking about Kyler Murray. I mean, literally no one. We just had a report out last night about how Josh Rosen may be on his way out. It's becoming more and more real as we go along. I'm going to be having a busy weekend. I'll be out in Avondale, Arizona, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and some of Thursday as well for the Ticket Guardian 500 weekend at ISM Raceway. So, big weekend. We've already had a big week this week. We released our all-academic teams for boys and girls basketball, boys and girls soccer, and boys and girls wrestling. Giving a shout-out to some of the athletes in the state of Arizona who are out there not just performing out on the field, court, or map, but also in the classrooms as well. Our first team, all 4.0s or higher, which is absolutely incredible to be doing in high school. So be sure to go and take a look at those. Those are a lot of fun. Wrote up a piece this morning up on the site talking about NASCAR. Even if you're not really big into the sport, just go and check it out. It's a little bit about what's going on at ISM Raceway, the rule changes in NASCAR. It's not that long of a read, guys. I got some fun pictures in there for you. Everyone likes fun pictures, so go check that out as well. There's a lot going on the site on sports360az.com. Coming in today, there was like no chance for rain in the forecast, and I got rained on as I walked out of my house this morning and on the way here to our studio. All the snowbirds who have come down these past few weeks have been like, what is with the snow and the rain in Arizona? This makes no sense at all. Sorry, guys. I don't understand what Arizona is thinking it's doing right now, but it's been a fun week so far. ASU is on spring break, so my brother and I went out to Topgolf, and I found out I'm not a golfer by any means, shape, way, or form. I hope I never have to close a deal over golf. The sad sucker who's going to be stuck playing golf with me, God bless his soul. Good luck, buddy. It's going to be nasty. And then we play for 2 hours. We have our final 15 minutes, and my brother starts yanking things out to the farthest hole. I'm like, what in the world are you doing? And then he goes out and hits the trench in the back twice. And I'm like, I'm barely getting it like 50 yards, dude. How the heck are you doing that? He's like, I'm just swinging really hard. I'm like, so that's the secret. Thanks, bud. All right. No. Our lineup coming up today, I'm going to talk a little bit about the Arizona Cardinals and the whole Kyler Murray discussion, because I know that Brad he loves talking about it. He can't get enough Kyler Murray talk. I know it. So I'm going to talk about it here as well. Then coming up, we have Mike Marlow, the vice president for intercollegiate athletics for Northern Arizona University. He's going to be recorded live, out on the couch in our Scottsdale studio living room. So that'll be a fun conversation as well, talking about the future of NAU, the Dome, the upcoming football season, much, much more. Like I mentioned, we're going to talk a little bit of NASCAR with the Ticket Guardian 500 weekend coming up Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Also, how about this? ASU baseball is undefeated at 12-0. Are you kidding me? Swept Michigan State, swept UC Davis, swept Notre Dame. I mean, are they the greatest teams in NCAA baseball? No. Are they teams that I thought that ASU would be sweeping? Also, no. So that'll be a lot of fun to talk about as well coming up on the show. We're brought to you, and the rundown is brought to you, as always, by Sagicor. Protect what matters most. Go ahead and do that with life insurance. Brad is licensed with Sagicor. Do you have everything put together in your life? God knows I sure don't in my entire life. Nothing is in shape at all. But you can go. It doesn't have to be a conversation about what I am purchasing today. It can just be a conversation with someone from Sagicor, maybe even Brad, because he is licensed with Sagicor. He tells stories about going out. You know, you don't need to buy it immediately. Talk about your future. Talk about what you have coming up. Talk about what you have put together and what needs to change. We appreciate Sagicor and their support. Sagicor now, go ahead and give them a call. Let's move things on to the football field, because football never really ends now, does it? The Arizona Cardinals have the number one draft pick. They have the coach who, during the college season, mentioned who he would like to pick with the number one draft pick, not thinking that he would be the head coach of the team who would have the number one draft pick only a few months later. And here we are, a report comes out yesterday afternoon that one team, a team, has told one person that the Arizona Cardinals are shopping Josh Rosen, the first-year quarterback from last year who took over for Sam Bradford after lack of performance after about a month of football. The biggest argument that I've had here in the past few weeks is there are not just trolls on social media, but there are respected, very relevant journalists online, on web, on print, saying that the Cardinals should draft Kyler Murray, and the reason why this is true is because it will help sell tickets. That's the argument there, that Kyler Murray being drafted and the run-and-gun throw 80 times a game offense by Cliff Kingsbury is going to sell tickets for the Arizona Cardinals. Go ask the Suns, the Coyotes, and the D-backs what sells tickets. Winning sells tickets. I just don't believe that taking who many believe is not even the number one quarterback on the board with the number one draft pick guarantees you, let's say, 8 to 9 weeks of sellouts. Just because you have Kyler Murray, the 2018 Heisman, and this absolute slinger of a coach in Cliff Kingsbury leading this team. I just think that's nonsense. And to the fact where everyone is believing that the number one pick has been already decided after, I mean, does Steve Keim even have his board ready? Have they even started at the very top of the line when it comes to who is going to be our number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 favorite in the draft? I mean, I don't even think that they have that ready yet. We are weeks away from the NFL draft, and it's already decided that Kyler Murphy is the number one pick. And it's only going to add fuel to the fire that last night, or yesterday afternoon, Josh Rosen is supposedly being shopped right now by the Arizona Cardinals. So it just seems very, well, while I don't want to use the term outlandish, it seems very quick to think that Josh Rosen, a guy who has been through a lot and some of the hardest hits in the NFL last year, is going to be shopped for a guy who isn't necessarily the number one pick in the quarterback room at all when it comes to the NFL draft this year. And that's going to not only sell tickets, but make the Cardinals relevant again. You still have Larry Fitzgerald. There's been a couple of offseason moves. And then, of course, you have David Johnson in the backfield. Christian Kirk is getting healthy. And then if you want more in the backfield, then you also have Chase Edmonds in the backfield. And also DJ Foster was more than likely going to be the backfield as well. So there's five weapons on offense. The offensive line needs work, though. The defensive line needs work. They need someone opposite of Patrick Peterson. That hasn't been 100% decided yet, even though there's been a couple of signings. And then, of course, free agency. Free agency is right around the corner. We're going to learn very quickly what the Cardinals are looking for in the NFL draft through what they do in free agency, what they pick up, what they don't pick up, because there's a lot of holes on offense and defense for the Arizona Cardinals right now. When you look at all the offensive line, the depth in the wide receiver room, defensive line, fullbacks, defensive backs, safeties, corners, you name it, holes need to be filled almost everywhere. There's rumors of Case Keenum coming to the Arizona Cardinals to end up being a part of the backup behind Josh Rosen. I'm not even sure. I don't know what's going on right now when it comes to the Arizona Cardinals quarterback room. I just don't. There's mixed signals coming from everywhere, and I'm not even talking about the Arizona Cardinals. I'm talking about NFL Network insiders and NFL insiders and this network and that network and the other networks in over on the side here that's pretty credible too. So there's a lot going on with the Arizona Cardinals. Who would have thought that the number one draft pick would cause so much commotion? You know, it's strange, especially because we've seen this now the past couple of years with the Phoenix Suns and now the Arizona Cardinals. The Arizona Coyotes have been on the verge of it as well as of late with picking up the number one draft pick. And to a point, it adds excitement. You're more than likely, especially in the world of football, going to add someone who can contribute to your team almost immediately. But it also means that you were the worst team in the league last year. It also means that you have the farthest to go next year out of all 30 if you're NBA or 32 if you're NFL teams. So I don't get hyped like other people do over the NFL and the NBA draft. I just don't, because we just had the combine. Kyler Murray did no drills. He only got his height, his hand width and length, and then he also got the weight. I mean, that's about it. Then he also got Nick Bosa gained weight in. There's a couple other defensive players that the Cardinals look like they are anticipating picking, maybe even if they drop farther down, or even N'Keal Harry in the wide receiver room. So there's all these options, but there's never a way to fully determine if there's going to be someone who will immediately make your team different. I mean, if you would have asked me this time last year if we would have picked up Christian Kirk in the NFL draft, that the Arizona Cardinals would have used him immediately and he would be immediately valuable to this team, I would have said, yeah, maybe, because he's a great receiver. He also went to Saguaro, so he knows a thing or two about success. But I wouldn't have said, yeah, he's going to be this playmaker who is absolutely, without a doubt, going to be on the other side of Larry Fitzgerald every single game in 2019. Wouldn't have necessarily thought that. Now you look at the number one draft pick. I mean, if you're a fan of the Phoenix Suns and a fan of the Arizona Cardinals, imagine how disappointed fans are with some of the draft picks like Marquise Chris and Dragan Bender with the Suns. And then you go right across to the NFL and you go, Kyler Murray's number one, write it down in stone. We're good to go. He's the next franchise quarterback. That's not guaranteed. Josh Rosen wasn't going to guaranteed have any snaps last year, any snaps at all. And he ends up being the starter. And he's one of the brightest quarterbacks, it seems like, in the NFL, just by the way that he talks, he analyzes, and he knows what's going on out on the field. So there's just so much commotion going on with this number one pick that I don't know exactly what to do with it. Because in my mind, you trade down. You could rack up some more picks. Someone, I can't remember who it was, I was talking to a few days ago, had a great point. Even though there's no guarantee that someone you pick is going to fan out in the NFL, the more picks you have, doesn't that mean the more chances you have at actually picking a guy who's going to be a franchise guy? That's a good point. Number one pick, you need spots filled up on defense. Does Nick Bosa fill that role? He has plenty of family that's been in the NFL. He's coming off of a sports hernia. You don't know if he's going to be completely healthy or not. So there's so many ways to look at the NFL draft right now with the number one pick when we aren't even close. We don't even have pro days this week, quite frankly, in the masses at all. So, I mean, it's just going to keep circulating that Josh Rosen is being possibly shopped because one NFL team said so. I think that some of the bigger news is Josh Bynes being released today. I mean, there's been three articles posted in the last 24 hours that have to do with impact players for the Arizona Cardinals, that being shopping Josh Rosen, trading for Antonio Brown, and releasing Josh Bynes. And I think I'm of the minority that today's and yesterday's biggest news is Josh Bynes hanging into free agency. I mean, you need more defensive players, but here we are still talking about Kyler Murray taking over the Arizona Cardinals since there's a new head coach. So, and the idea of a franchise being stable after a one-year head coach and a one-year rookie quarterback just doesn't seem like a great idea to me. But circling back to what I started this conversation on, guys, the idea that picking up Kyler Murray instead of having Josh Rosen at the helm this early on, it's just wild to me. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we have Brad Sesmat in our Scottsdale living room talking to Mike Marlowe, the vice president for intercollegiate athletics for Northern Arizona University. A great conversation going on there about the future of NAU football and also other NAU sports and just the beautiful camps that they have up there in Flagstaff, Arizona. I'm Devin Henry here on Sports360AZ.com.
First and foremost, I want to get to your reach here that all around the state, but this is so some wind at our back. I feel very fortunate that we had the opportunity to put in a dedicated outdoor practice field artificially surfaced to add to our other two that we have. That'll go in the summer. We've done some improvements, as you know, inside of the dome, about $3 million worth of video boards, nicely branded for all sports, but game day in particular, it's special. And then we just hired architects and contractors to start looking at that next step in terms of facilities where we can service all of our student athletes, football specifically, so that when mom and dads and young men come to us and we talk about, hey, we'll do everything we can at NAU to maximize your academic and athletic potential, we can deliver on that. Yep. There's improvements we can continue to do in the dome after this facility. I mean, because we're going to move some programs out and then really focus on football in the dome in addition to the new performance center that we intend to move forward with.
First of all, tell me about how that came together. I know you've kind of on campus a bit. How did it work out for you?
You know, Brad, I traveled 17,000 miles in 8 days, visited with 8 different people in it. It became clear to me going into it and the different people I heard from that Chris Ball was special. Chris Ball was special as a teacher at heart. And what really influenced my decision there was the number of former athletes, I'm talking 10, 15 years out of school, that found a way to reach out to me to let me know the impact this man had on their lives.
Mm-hmm. You go through the process of research, 10,000 texts.
It was
and I'm not exaggerating on that, because when it comes to a national coaching search, at that level of football, you are going to get overrun. You can put any numbers qualified.
It got to the point where I felt badly. There were some people that I just wasn't able to get back to because your focus is so intent on finishing it in a timely fashion. That's one thing with a football coaching search. You have those recruiting dates. You gotta be able to satisfy. So it was certainly in the hundreds.
What was the deciding part for you? When you just sat and looked at it, what was it? This is my guy.
I again, back to former players that reached out to me, that was very influential. I had my instincts told me that Chris would have the ability to put together a dynamic staff that was in it for the right reasons, and so far everything has proven to be absolutely on cue.
Like when I've studied in the past with people from NAU or in years here, I've heard and seen the push. The ACE is very, very important. This is the first time that
absolutely. Presence is very important to us. We want to partner with our alumni association in Flagstaff so that there's not standalone events down here. There's not an alumni association event 1 month and the next month there's an athletic event. We want those to be together so we can get the maximum number of participants we can and tell our story. We've got a lot of great ones to tell.
In terms of football, how much in the poly? How much can you do with what practice left? Monthly is it?
Well, we'll defer to our coaching staff because their connections and their relationships with high school coaches, parents, players, etc. is really going to be the driving force, and we'll do everything we can to support that as an administration.
Scheduling-wise, I talked with Chris earlier about playing the UVA, playing ASU. Do you go look at playing another program nationally, or those two rotating each year?
We believe so, and Chris and I are in great alignment on that, that we want our young people to have great experiences in terms of non-conference football scheduling, but we don't want it to be a murder's row.
This is not a paycheck school.
No.
Nor should it be. When you look at facilities on campus, it's just going to be overriding on campus. What's coming up? What are you excited about? What are you going to work on?
Well, I'm really excited, again, about the outdoor practice field that's dedicated to football. And then soccer will have some access to that as well. That will give us three two grass and one artificially surfaced field, and then the performance center. The plans right now, about 77,000 square feet, academics, nutrition, strength and conditioning, treatment center, medical services, etc., all focused on our student athletes and our football program.
The son's relationship, they train up there and then yeah. The Cardinals work on one time. I myself don't see that happening again. Maybe I'm wrong. Are there other sports that you can see on a professional level going to MAU and partner? You've been on the ground for about 14 months, so you've got a way to land up there. Do you think the Suns is enough?
I think the Suns, it's a great relationship. We're very appreciative of the partnership. They're great to us here, and we want to continue to be as good to them as we can in Flagstaff. Beyond that, Brad, don't really see anything. I know Coach Ball and I have talked about maybe expanding our football presence from a camp perspective.
Conference-wise, like the last time you and I talked, when you first came in, where's the conference at? What needs to happen? We know the TV contracts are going to be coming up here in short order, so there's going to be movement again from all indications. You're happy in the Big Sky, I'm sure, but do you see change on the horizon for that conference?
Well, I think the change on the horizon for the Big Sky, I'm very excited about the Commissioner of Welcome back to the Brad Sesmatch Show here on Sports360AZ.com. Great conversation with Mike Marlow, the Vice President for Intercollegiate Athletics at Northern Arizona University. Good talking a little bit about the future of NAU. We don't really get to talk a ton about them because especially this time of year when we have a lot of snow, it's sometimes difficult to get up to NAU. And they got a great program going on over there in the Big Sky for really quite a few athletics besides football as well, with the football program doing pretty well. I want to move right now to the basketball court, talk about the Phoenix Suns. It's hard to ignore them right now when you go out and defeat the best in the Eastern Conference in the Milwaukee Bucks. And then there's also the Lakers, some dude named LeBron James, but they might not even make the playoffs, so who cares about that win? But the big win is the Milwaukee Bucks, right? I mean, Giannis Antetokounmpo has been phenomenal all year round. Eric Bledsoe has added a lot of versatility on the offensive side of the ball since moving from Phoenix into Milwaukee. So that's a big win. The Phoenix Suns are the only team in the NBA to beat the Bucks consecutive times. Fun fact. With that being said, the Suns are still in the teens in wins. So I've thought about this for probably at least 24 hours, because I knew I was coming in to host today, probably a little bit more. I was thinking about it on Monday afternoon, too. Do I really want to be the Debbie Downer on this? Because it's tough, because I want the Suns to do well. That was my childhood, guys. The Suns doing well was my childhood, watching the Phoenix Suns. And now it's like, I mean, I don't even have a reason to watch the games half the time, because there's just horribly poor performance going on the court. But now with the win against the Bucks, your second win so far this season against the best in the Eastern Conference, who are the favorites to go to the NBA Finals out of the East, and then also defeating LeBron James while he is being kicked while he's down. Last week, they lost by double digits to the Cavaliers. Lost by 8 to the Hawks. Barely beat the Heat, who would end up having a great win after that. Whooped by the Pelicans, and now they're going to take on the Knicks tonight at 7. I mean, it's just so hard because you know that they beat the Bucks, and then they go take on the Knicks, and you're like, that's a beatable team, but you lost, I don't know, almost every game so far this year. So it's so hard to root for this team when they're at literally their highest point in half a dozen years. I mean, come on. I don't know if Brad knows the year, because I know that Brad doesn't look at this that often, but did you know it's been since 2010 that they haven't been in the playoffs? I don't know if Brad's told you that or not before. That's a joke. Brad, that's like Brad's favorite stat, the Suns. But 14-51 on the season. I mean, legitimately, 14th in the West can make the playoffs. The Grizzlies are 10 games behind the Spurs right now. And that seems like a lot, but at least you're not the Suns where you're 12 games behind the Spurs.
I counted that wrong. 24 games behind the Spurs for number 8. I almost gave myself some confidence there. Essentially, the only team that is worse than the Phoenix Suns right now is that of the Cleveland Cavaliers, who have, or the New York Knicks, rather. The Cavs are now above the Suns. Forget that. But the Knicks are the only team below the Suns. If the Knicks win against the Suns tonight, the Suns are back to number 30 in the NBA. The tough part to comprehend here, Kelly Oubre Jr. has just stated that he would love to once again extend with the Phoenix Suns. Good for him, I guess. Someone else there on the team, another good part of the young core. DeAndre Ayton, quite frankly, has been really good these past couple of games against the Lakers and the Bucks. Kept Giannis out of the paint, really. But even though Devin Booker signed a huge extension, whenever I watch a game, even when they won, the disappointment and the defeat on the face of the bench, including that of Devin Booker. Will Devin Booker be an all-time great NBA player? I mean, there's signs that say that he might, with the way that he scores and how young he is and the marks that he's meeting with Kobe and MJ and LeBron, but the question that has been bothering me for the last 2 years now is, congrats, you beat the Bucks. Congrats, you beat the Lakers. If you don't beat the Knicks tonight, then once again, you're irrelevant and no one cares again, which isn't that big of a change from where we are right now. But is Devin Booker going to want to stay in Phoenix? We've seen the most recent example is Eric Bledsoe wanting to get out of Phoenix. You can look as much as you want into the future projection of this team and say, if you build this team around Devin Booker over the next 5 years, it's a playoff team. Because if you have the right pieces and the right front office management, which is a question right now, you could build a great team around Devin Booker, DeAndre Ayton, and even throw in there Kelly Oubre Jr. if you really feel like it. And that can be a playoff team. But besides those three, there's no one else on the court, and there ain't a soul on the bench. Devin Booker, at some point, he's going to get frustrated more than he is so right now, because he is a really great player who has been argued to be an all-star snub the last 2 years, who's playing on the worst team in the league, who hasn't gotten better in the past almost 10 years, guys. Devin Booker is going to reach a point where does he go Eric Bledsoe and ask for a trade? Yeah, he's under contract for the next few years because he signed that massive deal. That doesn't mean that he can't just scream out, freak out like we've seen here in Phoenix and request a trade. I wouldn't be surprised if when we had our three-headed point guard with Isaiah Thomas, Goran Dragic, and Eric Bledsoe, when they got Goran Dragic back, the sell to Dragic was, you are going to be the face of Phoenix. By the way, 2 years later, you're going to be a three instead of playing the one. I feel like Goran Dragic wanted his way out of Phoenix, who I think is a really good player, who I think could have helped lead this team to the playoffs here, however many years ago it was now, with Isaiah Thomas on this roster. I don't see the Devin Booker situation getting any better if the team doesn't get any better. So does Devin Booker end up wanting to get out of Phoenix? Because right now, who wants to be in Phoenix? No one wants to be on the worst team in the NBA. I think that you can make an argument that more... I mean, there's arguments that the Knicks, who are the only team worse than the Suns, are one of the leading contenders to still get Kyrie Irving. That's just... It blows my mind that there's only one team worse than the Suns, but they're still projected to get an all-star free agent. And here are the Suns with... I don't know. Time is running out. I know that this roster is very young. I know that this roster has a lot of upside, but I see 3 years. If you're not a playoff contending team in 3 years, I think Devin Booker is going to want out of Phoenix, because where is he going? Nowhere. He'd be better off in Denver, who, oh my goodness, is second in the West. I mean, name three players on the Nuggets, I dare you. And they're second in the West. Why wouldn't Devin Booker want to be a part of the Denver Nuggets? Or another team on the rise right now is the Sacramento Kings. Or maybe the Minnesota Timberwolves. Or maybe LeBron James recruits him to go play in LA his final year in Los Angeles. Why wouldn't you want out? Anthony Davis wants out of New Orleans right now. They're 16 games above the Suns. So it's hard to watch this team knowing that with the still steady decline, there's no guarantee that Devin Booker is on this team 5 years from now. There's no guarantee. And that is the only light right now with the Suns besides DeAndre Ayton, who is growing better. I hate being the Debbie Downer because I want to see him do good, dang it. But here we are. I feel like that's a conversation that someone's got to bring up at some point, and I think now is as good a time as any. I want to talk positive now. I'm sick of this. Let's go to ASU baseball, because who the heck would have thought that switching from the Suns to ASU baseball would have been this big of a swing in positivity? The Arizona State Sun Devils are 12-0 to start the season. Sweeps against Notre Dame, which I think is phenomenal. Sweep against Michigan State, working on a sweep of Cal State Fullerton tonight, weather permitting, of course. Who would have thought at this point that it'd be Arizona State baseball that we'd be talking about? 12-0. And I mean, when they won last night against Cal State Fullerton, they had five pitchers in the game. Watching this baseball team last year, that was, in my opinion, one of the biggest problems, that you cannot rely on more than two pitchers back in your bullpen. You couldn't rely on the pitching staff. Now, here you are throwing out names like Sam Romero, Brady Corrigan, Chaz Montoya, who are all names in my mind who I just wasn't really sure about last year if they could really go two innings apiece. And that's exactly what they did. And then they put in Alec Marsh to close things out, who's now the number one starter. And that put out a fire after shutting out the Titans for, what was it, seven innings? So, ASU baseball, goodness gracious, they're... Five pitchers played last night in this game, and they won. Last year, five pitchers played in the ball game. That means that they probably lost by six. Chaz Montoya, I'm really soft for it. I like to see Chaz Montoya do well. I called games for him back when he was a junior at Centennial High School, for crying out loud. So it's great to see him doing well. But who would have thought that at this point, Arizona State would be 12-0, their best start since going 24-0 back in 2010. And Spencer Torkelson isn't stopping. This sophomore is not stopping hitting baseballs. Multiple RBIs in 20 of his 66 starts, 303 a batting average, multiple hits in 28 of those games. He's batting 458 12 games in right now. 458 he is batting on this baseball schedule. And you look back at the pitching right now, there has been 12 games, four of those instances has the opposing team scored more than three runs. Four out of 12 has the defense allowed more than three runs. This ASU team is something to watch. Now, they have a home series again against Xavier this weekend. This is their first road series, which two games against Cal State Fullerton isn't much of a road series once again to Pac-12 play. I am waiting for next week, the next weekend series home against Washington State, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, the 15th through the 17th. That's what I'm going to watch out for, because I want to see if they can take this into Pac-12 play. This is something that ASU football and ASU basketball haven't been able to do the past few years. Go into Pac-12 play and continue a great non-conference schedule. Then you play at Oregon for a series, at home against Arizona for a series. Now, here's where I'm really going to be watching. It's once we get into April. If this team is still on fire, three games at USC and a game at UNLV. Four straight games on the road, which is something that this team will not do this entire season. They will not play more than four games in a row until their second to final series. One game at Arizona, three at Nebraska, three at California. So seven games on the road, but that's so far down the road right now. I want to see if they can go through, if they're still relevant. Because, I mean, look at ASU basketball. It's hard for them to be relevant once they're in Pac-12 play. When we hit that April mark where there's four straight road games, does this team go 4-4? Or 4-0, rather. 4-4-4. Hey, 4-4-4. That's what I'm excited to see with them. First of all, they got to take business at Washington State. Before I swing it off to a commercial, between breaks right now, I'm actually getting ready for a game that I'm really excited to call tomorrow. Is it like Pinnacle and Shadow Mountain? Probably not. But it's the 5A champion from last year taking on the 6A champion from last year, Liberty versus San Jose O'Connor baseball. This is going to be a really fun game to me. I called the game. Liberty took down Hamilton 7-5, really in a comeback manner. And that was a game that I didn't think Liberty was going to win. That's a game I don't think many people thought Liberty was going to win. Your 5A state champions moving up to the 6A conference. Unlike Shadow Mountain and Pinnacle, this isn't like a setup game where the 4A champion plays a 6A champion at the start of the year. These guys are in a region now. They're going to see each other again later on in the year, too. So, speaking of San Jose O'Connor baseball, they have a sophomore stud pitcher who won the state championship game for them last year going all seven innings. He is already committed to Arizona State. We talk about how this team is doing really well pitching right now. You have a sophomore who won an Arizona State championship in the 6A conference, committed to Arizona State as a sophomore. Does that say anything about Tracy Smith in the future of the ASU team? Who knows, but this is going to be a fun game. I don't think it's going to get the hype that it deserves. The 6A champion of baseball last year taking on the 5A champion of baseball last year, Liberty versus San Jose O'Connor, will be a very fun game tomorrow on Thursday at Liberty High School. One more break. We're coming back. I'm talking NASCAR with you guys. Whether you like it or not, you're going to leave the browser on right here. I'm kidding, guys. Believe me, I'm going to make this a little bit fun for you guys and talk a little bit of NASCAR. Even if you guys aren't into motorsports, please stick around. You're going to have fun. I guarantee it. We're here on Sports360AZ.com, the Brad Sesmatt Show. I'm Devin Henry. As always, once I get in there, can I like get back out if it's too tight? I can't do that. That's it. Having a car that does it for you is great, but can it get you back out? I haven't tried it yet. I want to, though. For those of you who don't know, we are self-funded here at Sports360AZ.com. Brad does not pay my check often. No, I'm Kane. He doesn't pay my check off of very hefty multi-million dollar investors that we have here. We go out, we go into the community, and we make partnerships with those in our community. That also includes Arrow Awards, who sponsors our all-academic teams and all-academic wrestling, soccer, and basketball for boys and girls. Just came out here, Arizona high school athletes here in high school. Be sure to go check out Sports360AZ.com. I mean, watching these athletes compete both on the mat, field, and court, as well as going back and doing it in the classroom is absolutely phenomenal. We're going to move on over to ISM Raceway. The Ticket Guardian 500 weekend is Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I will be there. Brad should be there. I know you're listening, Brad. No. Brad is going to have a great time because this will be the very first time that he witnesses the brand new infield. $178 million. I could buy a lot of RC car tracks and race car tracks with that money. $178 million in renovations both to the inside and the outside of ISM Raceway, formerly known as Phoenix International Raceway or Phoenix Raceway or PIR. Now it's ISM Raceway, ISM Connect being the sponsor of the racetrack. And when you go inside the infield, which infield passes really aren't that much, I was really shocked the first time that I saw the prices here because it's a phenomenal experience. If you are a fan of getting up close to race cars that are going at phenomenal speeds, that are extremely loud, you get in the garage and you walk in and there's a gate like waist high. And I mean, you're give or take 3 feet away from a race car as they're testing the engine. I mean, the drivers are right there. There's no bulletproof glass wall there to make sure that you don't breathe on them. Like, they're right there, guys. So you can walk through the garage and look at all the trailers, all the cars, all the pit crews, see what a normal weekend is like for these guys. Not just the drivers, but all the mechanics, the pit crews, the guys in the garage, the crew chiefs. It's a wild weekend. Then you can go and take pictures in Gatorade Victory Lane during the race. And then there's a mosh pit. So then when your favorite driver wins the race, you can go mosh pit with them in victory lane. That all comes with the infield pass that you get. Then there's other food options. There's a beer garden and a modern margarita in there, for crying out loud. Other food options as well. You can go check out the driver's meeting. You can watch car testing, which looks like a hip-hop club or something in there. So $178 million. Of course, new renovations going on outside the track as well. But even with all the fun stuff going on in the track, there's still stuff going on the track that's new, too. New start-finish line that goes in ISM Raceway's famous dog leg. What the dog leg is that when people think of NASCAR, I get the joke like every day, guys. They go in circles and left turns. Wrong. You're wrong. They go in ovals. Thank you. But ISM Raceway is not actually an oval. It has a straight back straightaway. But now the front straightaway, it's not a tri-oval. It's just weird what we call a dog leg. A few years ago, back in about 2008, 2011, circa, they took out what used to be grass. So now it's all paved. So while the track is high banked up on the top, drivers can actually cut the track down the front straightaway instead of going on the curved, and they'll go four or five wide into the first corner of the track, which is absolutely phenomenal to watch sometimes. I talked to Kyle Busch in person. I talked to some of the other drivers, too, in the media room, who completely downplayed the fact that the start-finish line was on the dog leg. They were wrong, gosh dang it. It made for some incredible restarts going on at ISM Raceway. Now, the Ticket Guardian 500 is this weekend. It's the fourth race of the year for NASCAR. Daytona 500 was won by Denny Hamlin. Atlanta was won by Brad Keselowski. And then Las Vegas last week was won by Joey Logano. So two Penske Fords have made it into victory lane. And then Denny Hamlin has also put a Toyota into victory lane as well. Moving into, I found an article today and I love it. Moving into ISM Raceway, you have your regular names. The most wins all time at ISM Raceway is Kevin Harvick. He has 8 wins at ISM Raceway, won this race last year back in March. Jimmy Johnson, probably the most recognizable name in the Cup Series right now for those of you non-NASCAR fans. He owns 4 wins, but he hasn't been there in years, guys. But he spent some extra time there this week, actually, enjoying some of the amenities. And he started off really well in the Daytona 500. We'll see if the Chevys and Hendrick can pick it back up and get together. Dark horse name, and I love this. I ran upon this, and I thought that's a great point. Rocket Man Ryan Newman. He's won there plenty of times before. He got the pole there a few times. And last year, Roush Fenway did a great job at the track. Ricky Stenhouse Jr. had a great weekend. And I was really surprised at the productivity of the Roush Fenway cars so far early this year as well. And then you look back to the, not last November race, but the November race before that. In his final season, Matt Kenseth, the name that I don't think anyone had picked to win that race, went to victory lane. So Ryan Newman is a phenomenal dark horse pick because he's really not a dark horse at Phoenix. He knows how to get the job done. So I think that's a phenomenal pick with Ryan Newman at ISM Raceway this weekend. But action starts on Friday. You can follow me at DevinHenry77, Devin with an O, Henry with a Y. I'll be doing some periscopes, throwing out some videos out there, recaps of every day, previews of every day, and also you can check that out on Sports360AZ as well, at Sports360AZ for some write-ups, more stuff like that. I get it, guys. If you don't like NASCAR, if you want me to shut up, there is a phenomenal account out there that is an anti-Devin Henry Twitter account. Be sure to go and watch every single video this weekend because it's just Devin Henry being an idiot. It's at DevinHenry77, Devin with an O, Henry with a Y. If you hate me and you don't want to see anything about NASCAR, be sure to go and follow that account. If you do want to learn a little bit more about ISM Raceway, the races, and what's going on, and also the race weekend, be sure to follow the actual Devin Henry account, DevinHenry77. That's Devin with an O and Henry with a Y. So, it's going to be a lot of fun. Be sure to join me. If you can't make it out to the track, check it out on Periscope. I'll be doing a few Periscopes there, recapping and checking out what's going to be happening that day. I'll walk you through the garages. I got a hot pass for you guys. I'll walk you through in the morning the Xfinity garage and the Cup garage, tell you about what's going to be going on and some of the hot names in NASCAR right now. So, it'll be a fun race. Penske's going to be hard to beat. Joey Logano, Brad Keselowski, and watch out for the youngster Ryan Blaney. He's been hot. I wouldn't be surprised if he makes it into victory lane as well. Those are a few of my picks. Be sure to be on lookout on Friday. I have a full race preview for the Xfinity and Cup Series coming out on Friday. And already a what you need to know. What do you need to know about Avondale, Arizona, and ISM Raceway? I got a piece up on sports360az.com. Went out this morning. Go check it out. Also, our all academics teams as well, sponsored by Arrow Awards. You can check that out as well on the website. Plenty more content coming up. I'll shut up. Brad's coming back tomorrow. I will force him to talk about NASCAR. I don't know, at least off. I don't know if he'll do it on camera or not, but we will find out. Tune in, 10:06 a.m. Arizona time. No. That'll do it here on Sports 360 AZ for the Brad Sesmat Show. Glad to have you along for the ride. As always, my partner in crime here on Wednesdays, Kenny Wilkerson, our chairwoman of the board, sitting behind the glass. Of course, big thank you to Brad for actually giving me the ability to do this, because, I mean, who the heck would have looked at this face and said, put that on a camera. I mean, every week now he's done this. So very proud of what he does here, both here at Sports 360 AZ, covering the high school and college and pro sports, and also, of course, what he does at SagiCorps. We appreciate SagiCorps now and their support here over at Sports360AZ.com. One last time, I'm Devin Henry. We'll see you tomorrow. Same time, same place, but with Brad.